Welcome back once again to the Parish of the Patriots, 381st episode, if you can believe that or not. I'm recording this on the morning of July 4th, America, 250 years, buddy. And we're going to be around on that topic. Like I said, I'm doing this July 4th in the morning, so if we have a false flag attack later in the day or between now and when the show airs, that's why we're not talking about it or whatever. If there's any kind of happening, I always like to say if there's any kind of happening, you know, Monday morning, something big goes on and you tune in thinking maybe we're going to talk about it. And I don't. That's why, because I'm recording this on Saturday morning. Obviously, something big enough happened, I would maybe re-record the show, but that's a huge hassle. So it would have to be pretty major. And perhaps if it were that major, we would just do a separate show roundtable or something on it. So, but anyway, yes, I'm doing this on the morning of July 4th. And I think this is going to be one of those examples. As always, I just kind of have a rough idea of the direction I want to go in this discussion. A few things jotted down, but there is no script. It is all flying by the seat of the pants. I like it that way. Hopefully you do too. However many of you that stick with it, hopefully you do as well. As you know, I changed the format of the show a bit some time back. You know, I was doing the Christian specific segment very separately. You know, we just had like a wall there, you know, have a whatever discussion. Boom, go into the Christian specific segment. Change that. I've kind of just blended. I just do what I want 100%. And, you know, I've had some feedback. Some of y'all don't like it. Some of you think it's a bad idea. The rest of you, I assume you're okay with it or whatever. But today's going to be an example, I think, of why I chose to do that, because the whole topic is going to kind of, you know, fade in. You know, we're going to get into spiritual elements of certain things as we talk about the world around us. And that's really kind of what I wanted to do that. I wanted to change that, to have that freedom where there's times to do, you know, we get off into the more Christian specific stuff because it does pertain to what I want to talk to. And I still, it's kind of a work in progress, but I think it'll work out. I'll stop there for just a minute to say, if you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. And I use the term tithes as a joke, but you know, I got the P.O. box. That's it. We got the snail mail. We have nothing else. No cryptocurrencies. I'm not Donald Trump with his meme coin scam, pump and dump scam for his meme coin, where he supposedly made, I don't know, $1 billion or something. It's funny because the media is doing stories on that, and you know, they show like pictures, you know, like an actual coin, you know, because that's their vision. I guess they figure the only people, they know their audience, and the only people left watching TV news are old people, and they hear, you know, a crypto coin, and so they picture there's probably like a gold minted coin, so they show gold minted Trump coin with his face on it. But that's so they don't know. But yeah, no, I don't have any of that. So it's dropping something in the mail. I did check mail before recording the show, and the only thing I got in there was the renewal notice, which goes up every year for the P.O. box. And so yeah, we can move forward without worrying about listener supporter mailbag this week. Yeah, just talking about that for just a second though, it is funny because you know the government always plays down the inflation numbers. You know, they're like, oh well, inflation has been like 2%, and the rest of us out here like 2% of my ass, 2%. What world are y'all living in? You know, the P.O. box. From the time I first opened the P.O. box, however many years ago it was, it wasn't that long. Well, I guess it's been several. But anyway, I think the price of it has like doubled. I think we're up close to $200 now a year for a P.O. box. It's absolutely ridiculous. Same government is like basically over a certain period of time has basically doubled the P.O. box fee. Turns around and tells us like inflation's 2%. It's like, yeah, sure, bro. Now, like I said, I'm recording this July 4th, and yes, this year is special because it's America's 250th anniversary. I remember being a kid during 1976, the bicentennial, and it just had a whole different feel back then. You know, and part of that's probably because I was a little kid, but it just the general feel. You know, they were printing out those bicentennial quarters, if you're old enough to remember that. I think it was about the time they did the $2 bill. If I maybe not, maybe it was a different year, but I think that was part of that. The whole 200th anniversary had a whole different feel. We're at 250. And in your heart of hearts, I don't know how many people out there actually think we're going to make it 300. Well, I know I'm not going to make it to 300, so I don't have to worry about that. But the United States as it exists today, I think I could very well outlast the United States as it exists today. But I don't think there's any chance the U.S. is going to make it to 300 years. It's just a whole nother feeling. And that's kind of what I thought we would get into, and a little bit of the why, and just the way and why things are the way they are. And again, it's one of those discussions that you can't really have unless you can bring in the spiritual aspects for it, aspects to it, because it is really, when you get to it's all interconnected. You can't, if you discuss this without including the spiritual aspect of it, you're going to completely, you're not going to get to the whole bottom of the matter. Everybody knows. Everybody looks around and sees the state of the country, how bad it is. People, for some people, they don't think it's as bad as what it is. Other people seem to have a pretty good grasp. And some people, a lot of people, are somewhere in between. They know the country they're in is in a lot of trouble. They don't know what the answer is. I see people who, I've seen people talking about this and commenting on it. And, you know, on the one hand, they admit that the system is broken. But on the other hand, they'll turn around and say, well, if we can just get someone elected president, you know, the right person, if we get the right person in there, we could still turn this around. And I just chuckle. I believe that's silly and naive. And I believe a part of that, again, is when you don't understand, you understand the physical part, you know, the reality of the physical part, you know, it's bad. These things are bad. Corruption is rampant. I mean, everybody, this, whatever you want to call the left-right political spectrum, more and more people, I think, are even coming to realize a lot of that is just programming. And people on all sorts, a wide range of political views, understand, you know, are openly talking about and understand that Israel, literally, the Israel lobby literally owns and controls our government. All these politicians, we talk about it probably just about every week here and have for years. But now everybody is. That's a difference. Everybody is. A little later to the party, but it's good to have them here. There's no need to be gloating about it. It's good that more people, you know, are quote unquote waking up to that fact. But, again, how much difference that's going to make, it remains to be seen. But more and more people are seeing this. And yet, like I say, people will turn around and say, well, if we just had somebody, you know, we got the right person, you know, elected, we could still turn around. Again, I think that's a very naive way of thinking. For one thing, it operates on the assumption that elections are even real. And I don't believe they are. Now, there's a lot of talk about the mail-in ballots. And yeah, that is one of the methods. It's not the only method they use. Most of the elections are decided long before you go to the voting booth. They're predetermined. You're picking between two pre-selected candidates. They, you know, and how much election interference, how much they determine the outcome, you know, manually, depends on which candidate they prefer. Now, obviously, this last election, Trump was selected to be put in office. Team D ran the worst candidate, like, imaginable. You know, I mean, just the absolute worst. And, you know, Donald Trump worked out a deal And now looking back on hindsight, you can see why. You can see what the plan was. The Greater Israel Project was going to take precedence. If you turn around and put a Democrat in there, replace Trump next time with a Democrat, you're still going to get wars for Israel. You're going to get the Israel law. You're going to get all of what you've got now with more gay, you know, with more domestic social upheaval. And that's a pattern. Trump selected, he's put in there to pour gas on the foreign wars for Israel. And as a part of that, they need more men to join the military. And they figured one of their biggest pools for that traditionally has been more poorer white men, young men from the rural areas and from the South. And they have a better chance of getting those guys to go sign up if they're doing it, you know, under Donald Trump than, say, a Biden or Kamala Harris. So Trump is selected for these reasons. But the point is, the candidates are pre-selected. Then they can actually go in and manually make the outcome from various means to be what they want. So it's silly to be like, if we could just get someone in there who has integrity and refuses to take money from AIPAC. Well, that's denying the fundamental reality of how the system works. It just doesn't work that way. Now, let's just say, theoretically, you know, if you turn that around, that statement around, if we could get somebody in there, you know, with integrity, they're not bought and paid for by the Israel lobby. You know, if you phrase that as a question, what if we actually got a candidate in one of the major parties, because third party candidates, they don't care about because they never have a chance. Let's just say, what if we did that? We got a candidate in one of the major parties, Team D, Team R, whatever, who actually had integrity, wouldn't take their money, wasn't compromised. What would they do? And the answer to that is, it just right off the bat, they would kill them. And people know that. People are like, why don't any men of integrity try to run? Because men of integrity are generally going to have some intelligence, and they understand how this works. And they would kill them. Now, first, they probably wouldn't go straight for the killing them. You probably, first, they would destroy them. They would just attempt to destroy them. That's the normal pattern. You've got a guy, upright man, integrity, family man, you know. All they got to do is have some woman come out and say, you know, he raped me in the 1980s when I was 12 or some shit. Evidence isn't necessary. The media apparatus is integrated with all of this. So, of course, the media would jump up and run with it and report it as fact and tell everybody you have to believe the victim, even though the victim just is a victim because they say so. And they would try to destroy them that way. Evidence is not required. And that person could just quickly be destroyed. And people go, oh my gosh, he's a rapist. So that would be the go-to. You know, they don't just jump to assassination. That's if that doesn't work. If the using the media and all the rest of it to destroy this person, if it doesn't work, say, for instance, the person they choose to come forward with these allegations. And again, we're just doing a hypothetical here. Mental exercise to visualize how this plays out. Because we all know. Say the person they chose poorly. You know, kind of like, when they chose to reveal the weapon that allegedly killed Charlie Kirk was a .30-06. Whoever picked that caliber was an idiot. They didn't understand guns at all. It just sounded like a good, scary caliber. Say they choose poorly and it winds up this woman has no credibility and all these people come out and say, this bitch is a liar. She's been lying all her life. You know, like, just really bad. So let's say it doesn't stick. Then they move to the, you're just going to die. Maybe have a heart attack. Maybe have an accident. Or maybe they'll just do a public execution to make a point. The point here being that's a naive view. That you're still going to somehow within the system. You're going to change the system to do what it's not designed to do. Now, I was talking about being a kid back in the bicentennial, you know, 1976. And back then, bumper stickers were real big. You still see them now, but you know, we had bumper stickers. You know, people had bumper stickers back then. And they were better than the bumper stickers now, because the bumper stickers now are just, you know, Blue Lives Matter or, yeah, I don't know, political, you know, Trump stickers and stuff. You know, back then people had bumper stickers like, you know, no gas, no ass, no grass, no free ride. Keep on trucking with the guy with the big foot going out in front of him. I never really understood that one. Keep on trucking with the big foot walking. And I remember one of the bumper stickers, and this would be more associated with the liberal left. And it said something along the lines, because this was right at the tail end of Vietnam. And it said something along the lines of, imagine if they threw a war and no one showed up. In other words, just don't comply. They throw a war, say, I'm not going to go participate. What are they going to do? The thing about all of this from Keep On Chucking, which is irrelevant to this, is these things have stuck in my head all these years. This is probably why I can't remember where I lay my car keys half the time, because my brain is full of trivial nonsense such as this. If you know, you know. If you're in my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I was thinking of that, you know, if they threw a war and no one showed up. And I always adapt to that. You know, what if they had held an election and no one voted? You see, that's what you can do on that front. I really do believe that. You know, what if they held an election and no one voted? Then what would they do? Just, you know, it's a meaningful question. Whenever people say, you know, oh, you don't vote and you're not part of you're part of the problem, you're not trying to fix it. All you're voting for is that the system is legitimate. You're one of millions of people who are signing their name off on the bottom of the system and say you endorse it and that it works and that it represents you. That's what your vote counts for. It doesn't choose a candidate. That's all predetermined. So, yeah, I don't. And everybody always says, what are we supposed to do? That's one of the things. It's one of the things you're supposed to do. We'll get in. Don't worry. We'll get into more things you can do, more things you're supposed to do. Dealing with reality. I believe as a Christian believer, my central view, my central thing I look for is truth. People have got to jettison their ideologies. Let me be clear about that, because I don't mean don't stand for anything, don't have, you know, beliefs, whether political or whatever. I mean is designing a box, or usually having a box presented for you that someone else has designed, and deciding I'm going to go in this box and I will not think outside of that box. Anybody that presents an idea that did not originate from my box, I reject that idea. You know, that's just limiting yourself. The truth is what I care about. And I believe as believers, that's our power. Jesus said the truth will set you free. There's multiple meanings and multiple layers to that statement. The truth is your focus, regardless, you know, of where it comes from. Now, as we go through our discussion here on the 250th America anniversary, I want to go through, I'm going to go through, looks like several, probably at least four Bible verse readings, and they're all going to be from the book of Jeremiah. Now, for, you know, my fellow believers, I don't believe in this, you know, these people who will read these things and try to, like, literally apply it to today. They're talking, you know, Jeremiah is speaking about the ancient nation of Israel and what's bringing them down. What is bringing their downfall about? The prophets did not have a podcast. These things were written down. They spoke these things. They wound up being written down. When we read the Old Testament, I've said this before, but it bears repeating, because so many, particularly Protestant Christian believers, They most of them don't read the Old Testament at all. And the few that do, it's cherry picked verses here or there, you know, to don't even get me started once again on, you know, God will bless those who bless Israel. They have zero understanding. And when they do read the Old Testament, it's like, well, what is all of this history? Why do I care what Jeremiah said to the ancient nation of Israel? That's long gone. If you at least believe that, a lot of these evangelical lunatics think that, no, they're still here right there. You see the name on the map says Israel. King Netanyahu is ruling right now. But you know, otherwise people say, well, it's ancient history. Why do I care? What we're looking for me, what I'm looking for, I don't tell you what to do. What I look for when I'm reading the Old Testament is the patterns. When people say God doesn't change. And then they'll misapply that and say somehow that means, you know, we're all under the old covenant. Well, I'm not going to set up an altar out here and start slaughtering goats or something. God doesn't change in the sense that the patterns that we see in the system do not change. Man's behavior does not change. So we want to keep that in mind. I ask that you keep that in mind as I do read through some of these Bible, these verses from Jeremiah, because they apply today. Again, not literally. Jeremiah's not talking about America in 2026. He's talking about ancient Israel and Judah. But we see the patterns. And the same patterns thousands of years later. Nothing new under the sun, right? Because people keep doing the same things. They get outside of the parameters of the system God designed for us here in this realm, outside of God's laws, and they get the same result. Not because God is sitting around doing it to him directly. You got to operate within the parameters. Anyway, sorry. Don't want to get off on that tangent. Let's do our first one. Jeremiah chapter 5, we're going to do verses 3 and 4. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Now, let's jump forward, and then we'll take a little break from reading from here. We're going to jump forward, say, in chapter 5 of Jeremiah, but we're going to do verses 27 through 31. Remember, this is being spoken to of a nation in decline thousands of years ago. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. I got to stop there. Their houses are full of deceit, and therefore, they've grown rich. Through their deceit. We have billionaires, supposedly on paper. Elon Musk, I think, is now our first trillionaire. And out of these super wealthy people, is any of them somebody you would be comfortable dealing with, you know, character-wise on a daily basis? Would you be willing to, I don't know, make a financial deal with one of these guys? Or do they give you the feeling that they're not exactly real upright? Their houses are full of deceit. They're not becoming billionaires because they're doing an honest business. We know how corporations work. They find a way to offload any losses or any expenses onto the people via the government, and they keep the profits because free enterprise. You're not some kind of communist, are you? Deceit. They've grown rich. They've grown fat through deceit. Let's keep going. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. Now, this is getting into the system. They overlook the deeds of the wicked. Just an obvious thing that's on people's minds. How many people from the whole Epstein thing have been arrested outside of Maxwell? which I think if you believe she's actually in prison, you're probably kind of naive. But regardless of that, none of these people, they won't even, you know, they release these files supposedly, and hell, they're all blacked out. Deceit. You know, there's no justice. Every one of us, you, me, we know. Every citizen, normal person in this country knows the worst things that can happen to you is to get caught up in the system in any way, shape, or form. Because if you're poor, you're screwed. Justice is not TV. Justice is not going to come about because you're innocent. They're going to, if they pick you and decide they're going to hang the crime on you, you have no chance. Well, how many people have the money for a high dollar lawyer to defend them and actually put effort in court? They always say, if you can't afford an attorney will be provided for you. Yeah, oh boy, he's going to be a good one too. My. Now, just an example of how the system works and the deceit and the corruption. I saw a story the other day, and I don't know the details, just what details they gave on the news, but there was a principal for a school here somewhere in Texas, and he's been arrested. Basically, it's a drug trafficker. And you may say, my gosh, a principal is a drug trafficker. That's something. Trying to keep our kids safe. Well, what he was doing is he was, you know, people got America, we got lots of fat people here. And the big thing right now is people are taking these shots that help them lose weight because they're fat. Well, this is what he was selling, and he was selling it to, you know, to teachers and staff there that were wanting to get these shots. So what I'm assuming, you know, this is why I say I don't know all of the details. What I'm assuming from the charges and the allegations made against him, this is going to be relevant. Stay with me. Is he was probably going down to Mexico and getting these, because you can get the same shots. You know, you can get the same prescriptions down there for like pennies on the dollar of what you're going to pay here. And he was bringing those back and just, you know, selling them probably for cost and a little bit of profit for put in his pocket to people he knew personally in his sphere. So what exactly was he charged with? I'll tell you what he was really charged with. That's not going to be the official charges, obviously. He's charged with threatening the profits of the pharmaceutical companies. This is not what they will tolerate. If you can go to Mexico and buy them for $5 and here they want $600, that's what you're arrested for. Then that got me to thinking, you know, the possibility, this is a little bit of a tangent, but remember, this all falls in line with what we're talking about, the deceit. They wax in fat. They getting rich with their lies and deceit. Now we know that the drug cartels, or at least certain ones, cooperate with the U.S. government. The war on drugs is a joke. We know that the DEA picks favorites in the drug cartels. But then I got to thinking, what if the drug cartels themselves are actually just an extension of the pharmaceutical companies? We hear a lot, especially since the George Floyd thing, about fentanyl, the fentanyl crisis. We got a fentanyl crisis. Trump was wanting to put sanctions on China because, not because they're dealing fentanyl, but some of the stuff that goes into making fentanyl, China is supplying those things in the drug cartels. It's a part of the fentanyl coming in. What if, you know, it's all coming through pharmaceutical companies? I mean, supposedly what the cartels have their labs and they're making the fentanyl and bringing it in. That's basically what they tell us or what they want us to believe. But is that true? And even if it is true, it doesn't change the fact that the cartels could actually, in theory here, and I'm just theorizing, I have no proof of this. I'm not saying I've got the papers to back it up. But bear with me. Wouldn't that make sense? We look at the way in which the pharmaceutical companies protect their profits. What really struck me, like I said, we're talking about the George Floyd thing. Everybody knows fentanyl. Fentanyl's evil. Boy, they put up public notices of how dangerous fentanyl is. Well, when I had my first cancer surgery, you know, because the older you get, that's what your talk is like. You know, you go to the doctor. When I had my first cancer surgery, when I was in recovery, I kept setting the alarm off because I would stop breathing and basically just out. And the nurse would come over there and start shaking and yelling in my face to wake up. And I would catch my breath and wake up. And then I would doze back off and stop breathing and set the alarm off. And she'd come over there and say, we did this over and over again. And finally, she told me, she said, I can't give you any more pain meds. You're going to have to just bear with it. Because your breathing keeps stopping. And anyway, lo and behold, when it came down to it, it's because they told me they were giving me fentanyl. Wait, I thought fentanyl was evil and dangerous. I'm in the hospital and they're giving me fentanyl. Now when I had my second cancer surgery, I told them, you know, before the surgery, they were like, is there anything we need to know? That's, do you do a consult with the anesthesiologist, you know, ahead of time? They tell you what they're going to do and all this. And, you know, and they ask you, is there anything we need to know as far as things you can't take? I said, yeah. I said, don't give me fentanyl, because the last time they did that and it did not work. I kept not breathing. And they told me, they said, oh, yeah, that happens sometimes. Not to everybody, but it does happen. It's fine. We'll give you morphine. You know, good old fashioned morphine. This has been around forever. And they did. And I was fine. No pain. Everything was good. They're giving me the morphine. So why were they giving me the fentanyl the first time? Well, it's because it's more expensive. Because morphine's been around forever. It's cheap. Fentanyl, they get to charge more for that. So you get fentanyl in the hospital. But now you got fentanyl out on the street. Why do we assume it's coming from a different place? Would it make sense that the pharmaceutical corporations are just going to corner the entire market on the fentanyl? And if that were the case, 100%, this is just theory. I'm not saying it's true. This is just a theory. Mental exercise, if you would. Hypothetically, if that makes you feel better. Wouldn't it make sense that the pharmaceutical corporations would want to corner the entire fentanyl market? They're the ones that have the patent on it. They're the ones that are producing it. And so they get the recreational market as well as the medical market. They got it on both ends. Kind of makes this whole, oh my gosh, we've got to, sanction China because they're somehow responsible for it nonsense. All of this other war on drugs theater. Makes it look kind of silly. Now you can sit here and say that sounds outrageous, but okay. The big pharmaceutical companies just letting the drug cartels collect those profits instead of themselves, because they're so moral, right? They say we're just doing a hypothetical here. I don't know that that's the case. I may be off base and wrong. But let's think about it. Oh, because the pharmaceutical industry, yeah, the pharmaceutical companies, they're so moral. They would never do that. They would never be a part of selling their product and getting the street money, the recreational profit, as well as the legitimate above board medical profit. It is a pretty well-established fact that one of the things that keeps the stock market up afloat is all of the drug money that gets laundered through there. Who are they laundering it for? Think about it. What easier way would it be, again, in our hypothetical, for them to take their profits from the recreational, the drug trade, the illegal, quote unquote, illegal drug trade, and just buy their own stocks, pump that stock price up, put it right back in the company? Makes sense on a diabolical level, like if you were going to do that. And yeah, somebody say, well, if that was the case, why wouldn't they want to just legalize it? Because the illegality guarantees the high price. You know, it keeps the price elevated because of the illegal aspect of it. Now, this guy in question, he was going down, I'm assuming he was going to Mexico and getting these prescription turnaround, selling them on the cheap to the people around him who knew they were buying. And now, would I buy something from somebody at work and inject into myself? No, not a chance. But they did choose to do that. It's not like he was, you know, tricking them or something. They all knew what they were doing. They chose to get it from him. They trusted the guy and were buying it from him. So exactly what's he even been arrested for? Threatening the profits of Big Pharma. That's what it is. This is the classic. They're making an example out of somebody. I mean, yeah, his little operation selling it to people at his job didn't amount to a hill of beans for the pharmaceutical industry. But it's making an example. Nobody else better get that idea in their head. This guy had his face plastered all over the local news. You don't want to be that guy. Okay, I kind of got on a tangent. Let's get back. We'll pick back up at verse 28. They are waxing fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They overlook the real wickedness. This is what I mean about getting caught up in the system. See, this is the pattern. They overpass the deeds of the wicked. You know, where are the Epstein people being arrested? No. But everybody else, you better watch out. You know, if they catch you doing anything shady, you're in trouble. They judge not the cause. The cause of the fatherless. Now they're talking, now it's being written here about justice. The cause of the fatherless. These are the most poor people of the time, the most powerless of the people. They don't have anybody to stand up for them. They go to the courts. They go to the system. They bring their cause to the system. And what? They find no justice. You see? You think you're going to get justice here? Yet, they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. They don't care about you, powerless, poor plebes. They don't. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? People love it. God bless America, right? People wouldn't have it any other way. They embrace the corruption. Now, there's a lot I want to get through here, and we're going to get pressed for time, so I want to keep this moving. We're jumping in Jeremiah to chapter 7, verse 16. I usually don't do these many verse readings, I know that, but it's so relevant to our discussion, so bear with me. Chapter 7, verse 16, therefore, remember, patterns, talking patterns here. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. That's a biggie. I saw a little clip the other day of some preacher on TV. It was like a PSA, like an ad or something. I don't watch TV preachers as a rule. But he was talking about, you know, America, 250 years, and he's talking about instructing Christians to pray for our government, pray for our political leader, our politicians, pray for America, Jesus, to pray for America. I'm going to read this again. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. That's pretty straightforward. It's the pattern. I'm not saying he was saying that Jeremiah was writing this or it was written. He was speaking this to America today. He was speaking it to those people then. And it's the same damn pattern. Nothing new under the sun, right? Same pattern. We're going to go deeper into this. Same pattern. It's worse than you think. Well, you all know probably, but we're going to point it out anyway. Pray not for them. I see people with their signs in their yards, on their fences. Pray for America. Pray for Trump. God bless America. Pray not. I'm not going to hear you. That's what God said. I'm not going to hear. Don't pray. Don't come. Don't pray. Don't try to pray and intercede for this people, because I'm not going to hear it. To put in my own crude terms, God's pissed. These charlatans are always on about God will bless those who bless Israel, support Israel. And I always say, we did a whole show. Where's the blessing? Where, you know, does that look like they're telling you the truth when you can see the results? Where's the blessing? I'm not seeing the blessing. Do not intercede. Don't pray for this people, because I will not hear you. Now, I got one more Bible verse. Now, I'll quit hammering you with Bible. I know I don't usually do, you know, this many Bible verses, but just the pattern is here and it's so relevant to where we are today. This is where Christians, again, especially Protestant Christians in the West today, they miss out on the Old Testament. Most of them don't read it. And the ones that do have no, they don't understand the context of reading it. It's about understanding the patterns. It's not just, oh, we're reading a historical record and it's important to understand history. So understand that the patterns are there, because men's behavior is the same thing. And here's where we're going to tie it up with this last verse. Because where does all of this come from? And it comes from the exact same place. This is what I mean when I say that I don't believe you can really understand or grasp any of this without understanding the spiritual source of it. The wellspring, as it were, is like seeing water running down there. It's like not knowing where the water comes from. Well, there's a spring upstream, and that's where the water comes from. If you don't, you think, oh, the water just magically appears. Let's do this last verse, and it's still in Jeremiah 7, but we jump to verse 31. Because it all comes from the same place. What you see today, what is inherent, the wellspring, as it were, of the corruption, the corrupt nature, all of it. What we've read up to this point, where it came from then, for them, for Israel and Judah then, and where it's coming from now, it's the same place. Verse 31, chapter 7, Jeremiah. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. You know what that is, right? I know you do. Burn their sons and daughters in the fire. I remember whenever I would hear that. When I was young, I didn't understand what it was. I thought there was like a ceremony and like they burned them with a candle or something. It was appalling when I realized we're talking human sacrifice. Specifically, child sacrifice. Baal worship. It's become more, we all understand it now. More people understand what that entails now. The Lord, This is where it's coming from, because this is the common denominator here that's always present in this, the child sacrifice. Your sons and daughters in the fire, they burned them alive. You know, they would throw them, often infants, into the fire alive, and while they were screaming and burning alive, sometimes a lot of times they would have an orgy. I don't know how you would even do that. How do you? I can't even make a quip about it. I mean, but how would you even do that? How would you even perform in under those circumstances? Oh, yeah, I just threw my kid in the fire, and while they're screaming in death, let's screw. You have to be in a very special, not in a good way, spiritual place to be able to do that. the child sacrifice is an inherent element of where this comes from. It's always been there, and it's always a part of it. Now, I've mentioned the Epstein stuff, and it cracks me up that people act like that was a one-off thing. Plus, the media is running cover, damage control, because you can't, they can't control the narrative on everything. And they so what they do is when they do talk about this stuff, you know, they muddy the waters. They talk about the Epstein stuff. And like the vast majority of the talk, when they come down to it, it's some 15, 16 year old that was basically getting money to turn tricks for these rich guys. Vulgar and immoral, sure. But then you have people running around going, see, they were pedophiles. They were having sex with 15 year old girls. That's cover. If you think that was the worst thing that was going on, that's the tame stuff. That's the stuff they're releasing to you. Why do you think they're even talking about it? Because that's the tame stuff. Now, there's people in various corners of the internet talking about the not-so-tame stuff. As always, though, you don't really have the receipts for that. But it's there if you look for it. They tell you what they're doing. You say, oh, you didn't have proof. You did a bunch of crazy conspiracies. But we do. Because they tell you. They tell you. How many times have you seen, and most of you have seen it, you all are on the internet, you probably look at a lot of the same stuff that I do. Look at the artwork that these people display in the open, in their homes, at their businesses. The Podesta is an example that, what's her name, Ramovich or however, her name. You know what I'm talking about. You know the one I'm talking about, the spirit feast woman or whatever. Look at the artwork they openly display. Hey, what's this artwork you got here? Oh, it depicts, you know, a child being tortured and murdered. Who would have that? Because they try to, whenever people are correctly appalled by this, repulsed by it, what do they say? It's just art, bro. Man, you're so, it's art. It is art, man. You're trying to make something real when it's just art. But what is art a reflection of? Is art not a reflection of the person? Not just the artist, but the person who embraces it. As an example, you're going along and let's say YouTube puts a new, you listen to some YouTube while you're driving or something. And YouTube will, you know, throws a new song you've never heard before into your feed. And you give it a shot, you know, because if you're like me, most of the singers you listen to, the music list to the singers are long dead. So, so, you know, you're like, hey, I'll give this new thing, maybe something fresh I hadn't heard before. I'll give it a try. And let's say the song started playing and it was like, you know, so then I slit that child's throat and then I ate their flesh and it felt so good. You would be like, what in the hell is this shit? Ooh, you'd be like, I got to pull over and pray, make sure no spirits try to get on me. This is some demonic shit. You'd be canceling that out right away. Maybe reporting it, it wouldn't get taken down. But you would be, my point is, you would be repulsed by a song like that, wouldn't you? You wouldn't go around send it to your friends. Hey, I found this cool new song. Listen to it. Oh, really? What's it about? Is it about, oh, no, the struggles of the working man trying to make a living today? You know, and provide for his wife and kids. No, it's even better. It's about slaughtering a kid and watching them terror in their eyes and then drinking their blood. And it makes you feel good. You'd be like, bruh, you need Jesus in the worst way. You would, but the point is you wouldn't listen to it. You would reject that form of art. Because it would be repulsive to you. The art tells you, that's what I mean. They tell you. You can't prove it. Maybe not, but I do know what they're telling us. When they have quote-unquote art that they display openly in their homes of things like child sacrifice. They're telling you. They're bragging. They're in your face telling you. They're telling you who they are. It's a part of the ritual as well, by the way. They see they have to testify as well. We talked about the Baal worship in Jeremiah. They would have an orgy while the children burned to death. And what do we hear about? You know, sexual assault, raping children is a key element. The adrenochrome and all of that. Now, they get that certain element that is released when a child is in extreme state of terror. And that's the good stuff that makes them feel younger. It's the modern day equivalent of having an orgy on the floor where the children are screaming. Do you think that went away? They're telling us. Before recording the show, because I knew I wanted to get into this, I tried to look up how many kids go missing, and it's impossible. Because you get anything from 30,000 a year to 460,000 a year. Now, some of that is, you know, some teenage girl runs off with a guy she met on the internet and stuff. So some of that, I understand why there is a variation. But let's go with the low numbers. Say 30,000 a year. 30,000 a year go missing. I remember when I was a kid, when I was young, you know, if you're in my age grade, you know what I'm talking about. You know, they used to, because we didn't have the internet back then or any of that, and the media just mysteriously didn't really talk about it. So what did they do? They put the pictures of these kids on milk cartons. You remember that? The missing kids on the milk cartons. So this isn't anything new. Epstein wasn't around back then. If you think this Epstein is an isolated thing, remember what we just read? Don't pray for them. I will not hear you. This is what we're talking about. And it's not new. It's just becoming more out in the open. It's more out in the open because more and more this country is made up of godless people, so they don't give a shit. They used to put the pictures of the kids on the milk cartons. How many of these kids are ever recovered? Where did they go then? If they're not recovered, where have they gone? You know, I mean, you know, there's only so many places you can dump a body. I saw a story some time back, and it was a news story. It was a local news story. Out of, I think, the Las Vegas area, out of Nevada. And they found an area in the desert, and it was solid. They couldn't even count them. Piles of human ashes. Now, of course, the media being the media, they portrayed this as, oh, well, people have their loved ones cremated, and they, you know, they don't know what to do with the ashes. They don't want to put them on an urn on their mantle or whatever, and they don't have a special place, so they just go out there and dump them in the desert. Does that sound right to you? I mean, yeah, sure, I understand some people, you know, might have that situation. But this was a bunch, hundreds, if not thousands. I think it was hundreds. And there's no way to trace who these people are. So who are these ashes of? Oh, they just want you to believe all these are just random people. Oh, they all just went to the same spot, huh? You are literally looking at a mass grave, and the media is just shrugging it off like, ah, oh, people are so irresponsible. They go and dump their loved ones' ashes all in the same place in the desert. Gosh, people, come on now. Don't be doing that. You believe that shit? I don't. You got 30,000 kids going missing a year. They wind up somewhere. What are they doing with them? Well, you know, what are they doing with the remains of them? And of course, they talk about that, you know, missing children and the average person who's just, I don't know, going through life not understanding how the world works. You know, they get a picture of, you know, it's one lone pervert in a van or something, you know, snatching their kids off the street. These kids are still going missing. You think of this. Think this through. We live now in a freaking surveillance state. There are cameras everywhere. Flock cameras up our ass. Ring cameras. People got ring cameras everywhere. You know, I always say, put yourself in the mind, put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's going to go out and, you know, abduct a kid. Nevertheless, 30,000. You want to go, you're a perv. You want to go. I'm not saying you want to get in the mindset of that person. I'm just saying from that perspective, just imagine you are that guy and you're going to go snatch a kid. But you've got to do this without getting caught. With countless cameras you can't even see, cameras hanging on people's doorbells, flock cameras, surveillance cameras all over the damn place. You're going to grab a kid. Nobody's going to catch you. Yeah. Okay. Good luck with that. If the cops can get off their lazy ass, they're going to have a description of your vehicle like in an hour. Not really. 30,000? And nobody has any idea where they went. Oh, and they've not turned up anywhere. How many times do you have to show some kind of identification? You have to do, you know, if you want to buy some cough syrup or something, you got to show an ID. Where'd these kids go? How did they just disappear? How many of them wound up? It's piles of ashes. In a desert. Comes from the same place. You see what I mean? You've got to understand the spiritual element. It's the same element. Having an orgy on the floor while the kids burn up. Only difference is now they're not using their own as far as we know. They're just using other people's. It's the same thing though. It's still here. After all this time, it's still here. See the common denominator. Cracks me up when you look on our money, you know, because they tell us the separation of church and state, right? It's in the Constitution. You can't put up a nativity scene in a city park. That's a violation of separation of church and state. We can't have that. It's against the Constitution. You have to accept it or you hate America. You want some kind of theocracy or something. And yet, you pass all these police cars and it says what on the back? In God we trust. You know? You look on your money. Look on your dollar bills. What does it say? Blazoned across the back. In God we trust. How come that separation church and state never comes up? People see that and they say, see, this is proof America's a Christian nation. And I ask the question, why would you think that? Well, because it says right here, look, on our money, it even says, in God we trust. And to which I ask the question, which God? It doesn't say in the Lord. God Almighty, Yahweh, whatever specific you want to use. I read the King James, so I always say the Lord of hosts, as it's written here in Jeremiah, the Lord, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, how come it doesn't say in Jesus Christ we trust if we're a Christian nation? Well, it says in God we trust. Yeah, what God? They're not telling you, they're telling you in God we trust. But that's a vague term. You know, remember, God can be spelled with a small g. It doesn't have to be capitalized. So what God are we talking about here? What God are they trusting in? Because I would be willing to bet the God they trust in, there's probably some child sacrifice involved. All these patterns. It's the same pattern, and it's the same source. The same as it comes from the same place. In God we trust, right in your damn face, isn't it? They're telling you. And people, they don't say we're a Christian nation. It doesn't say in Jesus Christ we trust. Doesn't say in the Lord of hosts we trust. It says in God we trust. You better be asking what God are they talking about? Because I'd be willing to bet you 100% it ain't the same God you're thinking of. Jeremiah describes the downfall of Judah and Israel thousands of years ago and the various things that the Lord testifies against them. They deny justice, you know, through deceit and basically usury, rent seeking, through all of this deception, denial of justice. You know, they grow, you know, you're getting a concentration of rich. The corruption is rampant. That's what he's talking about when we were reading about justice being denied to the fatherless and the poor. So it's the corruption. And then in the last part that we read, he's speaking about the source of it. The spiritual source is not coming from. He's talking about the spring. He's been, what we read through, we're walking upstream. He sees the corruption. He sees officials getting rich. He sees super wealthy. He sees justice denied to the poor. And then in the verse we read last, we get to the spring, the source of this filthy water, where it's coming from, the spiritual source of it. Okay, we're walking up a new stream today. He was talking about Israel and Judah back then. Now we're talking about the West, the U.S. And we're walking up the stream. And what do we see? This is why people get confused and think, oh, he's talking about America. It sure looks that way, but he's not. But the same pattern. Well, let's see. Oh, same thing he was talking about. Seeing the same elements. And when you get to the spring, the source of all of it, you're going to find the same source. Because as written, there's nothing new under the sun. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of this show this week. I do appreciate you tuning in. Those of you tuning in, if you're new, this is your first time tuning in, I hope you stayed through the whole thing. And again, hope you got something out of it. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And as always, hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.